So this morning we are going to look at trusting God. Go to Proverbs. Look, I put all these bookmarks in here and I'm not in the right place. Proverbs 3, very familiar to all of us. We all probably repeat it a lot of times. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That word understanding is intelligence. Lean not unto your own intelligence. Basically, where does our intelligence come from? The world. We have worldly intelligence, don't we? We know that 2 plus 2 equals 4, 4 plus 4 equals 8. And we have a lot of intelligence, and our brains use it. We are to trust in the Lord. And this trust, there's several ways to use trust in the Bible. This one is confidence. Have complete, utter confidence. So we have confidence in the Lord with all of our heart, everything in our heart. Well, what's in our heart? Is it the Word? Or is it our own intelligence? And lean not unto our own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. You'll never figure out God. When he tells you something, you do it. You don't try to figure it out. Why, what, where, why, whoa, why. In all thy ways acknowledge him or recognize him. In all thy ways recognize him. Well, how do you recognize him in all your ways? You do what his word says. That's how you recognize God in all your ways. And he shall direct or keep your paths straight. He will keep your paths straight. So, we get the word. We trust it. We do it. And we get results. If I tell you I'm going to be at your house at 3 o'clock, and you know that I've told you that several times, and I'm never there at 3 o'clock, do you trust what I say?
No.
Completely. No. If you know me, and you know that I'm never late, short of death or the gathering, and you know that I'm never late, and I tell you I'll be there at 3 o'clock, do you even think about it?
No,
because you know that you can trust me. If you ask me to do something and you know that I'm reliable and that I will do it, can you trust me to do that? Have you ever asked anybody to do something and you were like, yeah, okay, we'll see what happens? Well, that's not God. God is always trustworthy. So we get the word, we go to the word, and we, you know, that's what we do. We go to the word. We trust it. We do it. We trust it enough to do it. Trusting God is not going along on our merry way, doing whatever, you know, not renewing our minds and this and that, and then all of a sudden, tragedy hits or a situation comes up, and now we're going to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and not unto thine own understanding. No, that won't get it. God's grace and mercy sometimes, but we do the word, and then we get the results. So, go to Psalm 112. We have to trust God enough to do what he says. We trust him to do what he says. And then we get the results, don't we? We've all seen it a gazillion times in our lives. We see it every day. We speak in tongues. We do it. God promised that we could do it. We do it. It's that simple. Verse 7 of Psalm 112. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, is his heart is prepared. It's established. If we are going to have total, utter confidence in what God says and be willing to do it, our heart has to be prepared with the Word and established with the Word. It's not something, you know, that comes up once in a while, trusting the Lord with all thine heart when something happens. It's our hearts are prepared with the Word. That's how we have confidence in God in every situation. Now we're going to look at some men. Go to Joshua. I'm sorry, Genesis. Genesis 6. Noah. What a great guy. Chapter 6 of Genesis. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts or purposes and desires of his heart were only evil continually. Didn't take long from Adam, did it? to get like this. Didn't seem like it took too long for mankind to get continually evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and all that. Verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder why. You think Noah believed God? Had been believing God? Somehow Noah had the word that was passed down. Noah knew God. That's why he found grace. And then go to verse... Okay, let's keep going. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. He knew God. He walked with him. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, like there were no laws in place. It was just continually evil. Can you imagine that? I mean, we still have Christians all over the world that walk with God. Can you imagine continually evil? One guy, Noah? What do you think it took for him to maintain walking with God? His heart had to be established, prepared. The earth, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. There's the word of God. There's God's word. Came to Noah. Verse 14, Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. God has started to tell Noah his word. Has God mentioned anything about rain so far? No, he said he was going to destroy everything. But he didn't tell Noah how, did he? He just told Noah to start building an ark. Now, Noah had to maintain throughout this situation. He had to. Go to chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Isn't it? One guy. God had seen him righteous because Noah walked with God. Now, Noah got the word of the Lord, and he built the ark. We all know that. He built that ark, not knowing what was going on. He just did the word of God. He did it. He trusted it. He trusted God in a situation. And he was surrounded with evil. He didn't have another believer standing there by him handing him nails and gopher wood and pitch or a hammer. He didn't have anyone like that. Chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord had commanded him. Isn't that beautiful? Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. So he had gotten the word of God. He trusted it. And he did it. Now, go to verse 16 of 7. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. When God shuts the door, nobody, nothing gets in. God had to have shut that door. You know why? Because Noah might have felt sorry for some people standing outside of the ark drowning. But God had said, I will destroy the earth. You build an ark. Get animals. Get your family in there. He shut the door. Noah believed what God told him. Noah trusted that. Chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah built, they got out of the ark, okay? It all happened. We all know this story. We've all read it 100 times. They got out of the ark, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination or reasoning of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's a pretty good result, isn't it? That Noah got the word of God. He trusted it, he did it, and that's the result. That's nice. Noah saved the world. Noah saved mankind. That's a pretty good result. Isn't that wonderful? It also, at that time, God shoots the hell out of global warming. Read one verse in the Bible, you scientists, and you'll figure this out. Okay, now go to Joshua. That is a great result. Save mankind. Because Noah did that. He didn't know what an ark was. He didn't know what rain was. He had no idea. But he didn't lean unto his own intelligence. He did what God told him. Who happens to be the supreme intelligence behind everything. Okay, Joshua 1. These guys in the Old Testament just are great, aren't they? What would we do if God told us to build an ark? Oh, I don't know. Are you? I say, what are you talking about? Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. There's the word of God. God just said his word to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. What a promise from God. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a word of God. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. How many times does God tell us that in the manifestations? I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. Nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing you do can keep you from coming back to me. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. There's the word of God, and he's telling him how to do it. Keep my commandments. Don't go to the left or to the right. Don't lean unto your own intelligence. Be strong and of a good courage, for I, the Lord God Almighty, have given you this land. I will give you courage. I will give you strength. This is Old Testament. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. There's that word meditate. How about mutter? Mutter it to yourself. Mutter the word to yourself. That's how you prepare your heart. Therein, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Isn't that fabulous? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The same God that said that to Joshua, the same God that gave Moses the law, the same God that told Noah to build an ark is our God. He has not changed. We don't need to ever be afraid. We don't need to ever be dismayed about anything. Sometimes we stub our toe and we are dismayed. Go figure. Think about what he told Noah. Think about what he tells Joshua in here. This is unbelievable. This to me is like the Almighty God. He's the same God. He never, ever changes. Never. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Joshua got the word of God. And he's about to do it. He's doing exactly what God told him to do. Go to verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And we know that they crossed. God made the water stand up in a heap. If God told me to walk down to the ocean, the same God that told Moses to go, you know, to go to the Red Sea, the same God that told Joshua to go to the Jordan, which was flooded, flood stage. If God told me to go down to the ocean, would I go? I mean, would you go? Do you have that much trust? Do you have that much word prepared in your heart that you have that much confidence in him? They put their feet in the water with the ark. He didn't stay in that water in the Jordan up on a heap for them to cross before they stepped in it. We got to take the first step. When God says move, we move. When he says pray, we pray. When he says love, we love. When he says forgive, we forgive. When he says give, we give. When he says do it, we do it. He doesn't tell us why, always. And he doesn't tell us how he's going to do it. Some of the biggest surprises from God I've ever had in my life were a total something that I never, ever in my life would have imagined in my own reasoning. I lost the vision in this eye from an injection I got. So Stella and I are down at Will's Eye Hospital. Now, I can't see out of this eye at all, and the doctors aren't sure if they can restore it. Well, Sid and Stella and I had already prayed, so we knew God could restore it. So I went down to Will's Eye. I was there all day long. I had my phone off. Of course, I didn't want to be bothered. And came home. Sid and I went back down to Will's Eye Hospital the next morning, 8 o'clock. My eye had been restored. My eyesight was restored. The doctor sat down, you know, with all the examinations and all that, and said, I have never seen anything this remarkable in my career. Your sight is completely restored. Now, I had to do drops every hour, Friday night and all that. That's okay. But the next morning, God had restored my vision. But here's the good part, if that it can get any better than having your sight restored. That day, my daughter called me up. Said, Mom, we've been trying to get hold of you. Call my husband immediately. Call my son-in-law immediately. Well, what's going on? He says, I need your insurance information, all this. Me and James bought you a car. That was like, my son-in-law, everybody knows my son-in-law. God love him. I mean, he is a giver. He is. He is, but he's still your son-in-law. You know what I mean? He and James, Stella's brother-in-law, Stella's older sister and her husband, bought me a car while I was down there at Will's Eye Hospital. I had no idea what was going on. I know that I had prayed a week before this happened, and I said, God, if you will get me a new car, I promise you I will not smoke in that car. 1 week later, I got a new car. You know, I have not smoked in that car, and I never will. But that's, see what I mean? I wasn't leaning to my own intelligence. There's no way that my vision could have been completely restored like that by medication, because the doctor said so. It usually takes vision out. It's done. We can give you we can give you this, give you that, give you injection. But he said, sometimes, he says, there's a risk to it. It may never come back. The next morning, my vision was restored, and I was like, it's a good thing, God, because I wouldn't have been able to drive my new car. So, see what I mean? The greatest things happen when it has nothing to do with you. You're just trusting God. I guess when I promised him I wouldn't smoke in my car, he probably thought, oh, that's a good one. I'm going to hold her to that. So, Joshua. And, of course, they got the results. Now let's look at David, 2 Samuel. Love King David. I can hardly wait to meet King David. Jesus Christ came out of his loins. Isn't that wonderful? And King David was full of flaws at times. He just didn't get it sometimes. No one of these men was perfect. The only perfect one was our Lord and Savior. 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. In other words, God had just delivered. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Those two verses are, or that verse particularly, is a pretty good verse to memorize, isn't it, and to think about. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. See, David had his heart fixed with the word. He knew when he called on God, God would save him from his enemies. He already knew that because he wrote it down. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death preceded me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear me out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Listen to this. If God ever did this stuff for us, we'd probably pass out. We'd faint. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because God was wroth at his enemies. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Oh, David, what a God. God still takes care of our enemies, our greatest enemy. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the adversary, the snake, the dragon, whatever. God takes care of our enemy for us when we but trust him and put our confidence in God, that he will do what his word says he will do. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the seas appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me, drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. We got to tell God, there's no way I can handle this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't have an answer at all. But I know that you do. I know that you do. Because you are the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the universe. And you are my Father, my Abba, my Daddy. And I have the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, interceding for me. Wow. Golly molly. Unbelievable. Verse 19. They preceded me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Surrounded by all the enemies, surrounded by hell itself, the Lord is my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Well, does God delight in you? I would think so. You have his spirit in you. If he didn't delight in you, why would he put his spirit in you? He delights in you because you believed on the name of the Son of God, that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why he delights in us. He always wanted children. And he's got his seed in us, the seed of Christ. The gift of Holy Spirit. There is nothing greater in this world than that. We can stand and stand and stand and stand and have our hearts fixed and established and prepared with the Word in any situation that comes up. It doesn't matter if the United States of America collapses and there is chaos and anarchy in the street, the Lord is my stay. God is delighted in me. Be strong and of a good courage. Look neither to the left nor to the right. Lean not unto your own intelligence. Trust my word. Do what I say. You will get the results. Absolutely. And the final result is the gathering together, where we're ever with the Lord, where we see Jesus Christ himself face to face. What a life we live. What a privilege we have. We don't believe it. We don't recognize it. We don't acknowledge it sometimes. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So that was David. And David goes through this again and again and again. Every single time, God takes care of David. He took care of Joshua and the people of Israel. He took care of Noah so there could be mankind today, so we could get a Savior, so we could get born again, so we could be gathered together. See, I don't know if that whole thing with Noah leads up to the gathering together. Go figure. Little Noah, you build an ark, okay, get your hammer, get your shittim wood, your gopher wood, your whatever, get the animals in there. I'm going to destroy everything, but I'll never do it again. We're going to have a Savior. See, little old Noah did what God told him to do so we could be gathered together. Cool, huh? Those guys should get some rewards. Now, the other, another word for trust is refuge. When you trust God, when you have confidence in God, you can take refuge in that. Refuge is a beautiful word. It's like, I'm here. I'm safe. I'm grounded. I'm safe. I have refuge here. It's like a resting place. We can rest. Go to Psalm 64. That's great to have confidence in God. What he says, we trust it, we do it, and we have a resting place in that. We can rest easy. Be strong and have a good courage. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whithersoever thou goest, I'll be there. Where am I? Psalm 64. Psalm 64, 10. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. We ought to be more than glad, people. We ought to be jumping up and down for joy. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust, take refuge in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Well, we are definitely going to glory one of these days because we're going to have the glory. We have the glory of the Lord now, but one of these days we're going to see it face to face. Psalm 91. I love this reference God makes to himself. 91 verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Isn't that beautiful? He shall cover thee with his wings. His protection. His love, his grace, his mercy. That's his wings. That he'll cover us with that. We can take refuge there. We can rest. Like a mother bird does with her little babies. How they protect with those wings. They cover them. And his truth, his faithfulness, shall be thy shield and buckler. That's our shield, the word of God, God's faithfulness. That's what shields me from the evil. That's what shields me from everything that comes my way, is God's faithfulness to his word when I trust it. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him, your refuge, your resting place. He's a shield. He protects when you put your rest in God. And when we have God's word, when our heart is fixed and prepared with God's word, isn't that restful? When situations come up, what do we do? What do we do the first thing? Do we recognize God so He can keep our paths straight? Do we acknowledge His word? You know, the tendency is to think the worst. That's the human mind. We're not human. We're superhuman. I don't like that term. I'm only human. No, you're not. You're superhuman. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have God's Spirit in you. You're not only human. I'm only human. You make a mistake. I'm only human. No, you're not. You're superhuman. Get to the Word and believe it. I don't want to hear that ever from a believer. Nahum. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Jonah, Nahum, or Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M. His Nahum is Nahum.
Nahum.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7 of Nahum. This is, the Lord is good. We got to remember God is always good. He is good in the darkest situation that you can be in. God is always good. He's not good because He got me a new car. That's not what makes Him good. He blessed me with that. God is always good. If you are dying of some horrible disease, God is still good. If you lose every penny that you have and your job and your house and everything you have, God is still good. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that take refuge in Him. Isn't that beautiful? He knows us. He knows we need His rest. He knows we need His grace and mercy and forgiveness. He knows He needs to open the eyes of our understanding. He knows that He needs to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our flaws. He knows when we're out in left field. But nothing can separate us from the goodness and the love of God. We put our trust in the Word. We get the Word. We prepare our hearts and establish our hearts with the Word. We do what the Word says. And sometimes that's not always easy. It isn't. But God knows that. But we do it regardless of the situation. We get the results every single time. You see it in your life. I see it in my life. Any believer that trusts the Word and does it sees the results in their life. So if we're not getting results, we probably ought to, as the old saying goes, take a checkup from the neck up. What am I thinking? What, you know, that old thing. What were you thinking? I ask myself, I'll go, what were you thinking? It's not what the Word says. And we just do that. We pull our minds back so that we can trust in God, so that we can be thankful, so that we can give Him the praise to Him. We just do that constantly because we don't live in an easy place. But one of these days, we're going to dwell with God in the new heaven and earth. And all of this stuff won't amount to a tinker's dam at all. It'll be a fading memory forever. Because we have eternal life with the one true God, the creator of the heavens and the universe, the one that sent His only begotten Son. Amen.
Amen. Amen.